I decided to do something a little unusual with Scripture today. We usually have an Old Testament lesson and a New Testament lesson, but Barbara has inspired me with her narrative lectionary idea, and so I decided to go with a narrative idea. One of the things that strikes me about the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Luke, is how they repeat stories in slightly different ways. And so I decided to have two stories that are almost the same, but not quite the same, both from the Gospel of Luke. They're about four chapters apart. Luke is really good at this. When he wants to make a point, he repeats it. This is actually the, by my count, there are five stories of the woman putting ointment on Jesus' feet or washing his feet or other kinds of things. It's second only to the feeding of the 5,000, 4,000, 3,000, which as stories told in the Gospels, the number of times it's told. There are four Gospels. This is told five times. So it must be important. So you heard one version of it from Luke 7 that Dana just read for you. Now I'd like you to hear a slightly different version from four chapters later. See if you were paying attention to see what the difference is. This is from Luke 11 in verse 37. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine with him. So Jesus went in and took his place at the table. The Pharisee was amazed to see that Jesus did not first properly wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to the Pharisee, "Now you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not the one who made the outside also make the inside? So give for alms those things that are within. Everything else then will be clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees! For you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kind, and yet you neglect justice and you neglect the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. Woe to you Pharisees! For you love to have the seat of honor at the head of the table in synagogues and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. But woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk all over them without noticing it." One of the lawyers at the table took great offense and said, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us too." And he said, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens to bear, and you yourself do not lift a finger to ease them." Thanks be to God, I guess, for the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us. These passages are really interesting. I want you to kind of remember, put yourself in this situation. The invitation arrives by courier. A special gold-plated invitation, while Jesus and his disciples were resting at home in Capernaum. One of the most well-known and respected of the local Pharisees was inviting Jesus to a dinner party. The disciples just didn't know what to make of it. Well, I was thinking about this in the past week when I heard about another invitation. The Speaker of the House of Representatives, John Boehner, invited Pope Francis to speak in front of a joint House of Congress. What could possibly go wrong? What could he be thinking? And more worrisome, what is this radical Pope Francis, who just spent his time in Central America lambasting capitalism and asking the church to be forgiven for their horrible behavior, what will Pope Francis say to this right-wing Congress we have right now, he has welcomed gay people. He has washed the feet of a Muslim woman in prison. And Speaker Boehner invites him to Congress like Jesus to the Pharisee's house. Now, ordinarily, such an invitation to the Congress or to the Pharisee's house would be quite an honor, I would think. It would be a chance for Jesus to speak with important and powerful people and to enhance his reputation and increase his social standing in the community. And God knows they needed to increase that because they had been causing all kinds of trouble lately. This ragtag group of disciples were wandering around saying terrible things. But when they got this invitation, they were more than a little worried, because Jesus had been having some serious confrontations with the local Pharisee authorities, just as Pope Francis seems to be doing these days. The disciples had been breaking a good many of the important Pharisaical rules and embarrassing the leaders in public. Jesus was becoming a troublemaker. And several Pharisee officials had come to Capernaum from Jerusalem just to check up on him, to see what the fuss was all about. So when this invitation was delivered to Jesus, they were a little worried. They were afraid of a trap. They urged Jesus not to go. But Jesus always accepts invitations. And on the night appointed, he went off alone to Simon's house. Simon greeted him at the door politely, if not warmly, and they joined a group of important men lying around the spread they lay on the floor for their feast, a lavishly spread feast. They were polite and had erudite conversation for about an hour or so, and things were going pretty well. But then it happened. Everything was just going fine. It'd been a little tense, but maybe they were getting a little reconciliation there. They made it to dessert with no major arguments. And then she walked in. This woman somehow had made it into the dining room, and she was quite a woman. Tall, and made taller by her spike-high heels she was wearing and her bleached blonde hair. Tied up in a bun, by the way, and she had an unbelievably gaudy makeup job, and that outfit she was wearing, it was enough to terrify you. The shortest mini skirt any of them had ever seen, and torn fishnet hose, and a little postage stamp size halter top over an ample breast. Simon and his friends' mouth dropped, and they looked on aghast. Who was this woman? They all knew who she was, but why was she in Simon's living room? They sat there, just stunned. But the woman knew what she was doing. She walked quickly and quietly into the room, carrying a large green bottle of perfumed oil, undoubtedly the kind she used in her massage practice. But she was uncharacteristically subdued, and she was polite. She walked directly over to Jesus. He looked up at her with a little surprise, but with obvious love, and then he gazed into her eyes, and he smiled. That was all it took. The woman started crying. Big, deep sobs came from the depths of her soul as Jesus smiled at her as no one ever had. She fell to her knees in front of him as he turned toward her, and then he reached up. She reached up and pulled the pins out of her hair, letting it fall down around her shoulders and dripping down so that it tickled Jesus' feet and his legs. And as tears stained her face, they dropped down from her face to his feet. And then she opened the bottle of oil, and that sickly sweet perfume smell wafted through the room. And then, as only a woman like her could do, she gently massaged Jesus' feet, kissing them as she did so. This is all in the scripture. If you don't believe me, it's there. Simon, the host, the proper Pharisee, could take no more. He became furious at the woman for intruding and ruining his fancy party, and astounded at this holy man, Jesus, for allowing it to happen. "Don't you know what kind of woman this is?" he screamed at Jesus. "How can you allow someone like this near you, much less ply her trades on you? Get this thing out of here," he screamed. But Jesus stood up and stared for a long time at Simon, his host. And then he said, "How dare you criticize her? She is showing hospitality and love that someone like you could never show. She has many sins, yes, but she is the one who is loved and forgiven here. You, on the other hand, you don't even know what love is." And then he reached down, touched the terrified woman on the cheek, helped her to her feet. He smiled at her again, looked her in the eyes, and said, "My friend, you have done well. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And he walked her to the door. Whoa. What an amazing story. I think it's one of the strangest stories in the whole Bible. And it speaks worlds about the kind of person that Jesus was and the kind of Messiah that Jesus still is for us today. And because its characters are so human, the story still speaks to our modern situation. These are real people, shocking us. If we let it, we have heard it before, but we don't get as shocked as the people of Jesus' time, but we should. Look at this woman a minute. She is very obviously an outcast, low life, probably a prostitute, the kind of woman none of us would have in our dining rooms at a dinner party. And we would probably react precisely as the Pharisee did. "How can this woman be in my dining room?" And Jesus reacts to the woman in just an amazing way. He sees something in her that no one else sees. In that way, he's very much like our current Pope. But the thing I find most amazing in the whole story, you may not have even noticed. The woman, she is totally silent. She never says a word in the entire story. And Jesus welcomes her, loves her, forgives her, and sends her on her way in peace without her ever saying a word. The traditional interpretation of this story, if you read most commentators on the Bible, they say that this is a good example of a sinful woman who comes to Jesus to repent of her sins, and because of her true repentance of her sins, she said her confession just like we did a minute ago. Because of that confession and her promise to live a much better life and to give up her sin, then Jesus forgives her and blesses all of us and her. But that is not what happens at all. There is no indication whatsoever in this story that she has given up her sinful ways. And there's no place in the story anywhere where she seems to say she's sorry or to repent or to make a confession. Yes, she comes to Jesus in love. Jesus responds in kind. But she doesn't make any promises. And he does not require any. But then there's Simon, the Pharisee. Oh, I am so much like him. I can almost hear my thoughts running through his head. I wouldn't have had evil intent inviting Jesus over. Like him, I probably would want to have found some way of reconciling these parties in a lovely little church group. We'd have a church dinner and we'd all get along and sing Kumbaya together. That's what I would have wanted to happen. And I would have been so happy that the dinner was going well until that damn prostitute showed up. But then I will never understand why Jesus got mad at me instead of her. She was the problem, not me. No wonder there could never be any true reconciliation between the good and proper religious authorities and this radical, rule-breaking, free-thinking rebel. And the Gospel of Luke is full of such radical stories. And just in case this story didn't make its point clear enough, Luke gives us almost an exact replica of it a few chapters later that I just read for you. A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, so he went and took his place at the table. The same story. But this time, it didn't take a prostitute. This time, Jesus immediately caused a stir because he did not perform the proper religious washing ceremonies before dinner. It would be somewhat akin to you inviting Maggie to come to dinner, your pastor to come to dinner at your house, and then you sat down to say your grace before the meal and she refused to participate. It would be kind of shocking. It would go against the cultural religious standards. And Jesus then used this minor occasion to launch into one of the harshest personal critiques in Scripture. He didn't pull any punches or spare any feelings. The lawyers and the Pharisees were like taken aback. Is he really talking to us? Jesus had obviously not been to an anger management seminar or learned proper eye language. He said, You are whitewashed walls. Nice on the outside, but dirty inside, you horrible people. You Pharisees, clean what's on the outside and leave the inside dirty. So, in these stories, who should we be like? Well, who wins Jesus' love? Who feels Jesus' worst ire? The answer is perfectly, painfully clear. The one Jesus loved is the one whose outside matches her inside. He reached out in love to the woman kneeling at his feet with massage oil, the woman who let her emotions flow so freely and expressed her love so crudely, yet so openly. Jesus was not the least bit concerned with the following the rules, with proper behavior, with standing on custom and authority. And in these stories, at least, he doesn't even require repentance from us. What he values most is emotional honesty, a genuine loving kindness coming toward him and being responded to without pretense, the same on the outside as on the inside. This woman of the city, as Luke calls her, came to him just as she was, in all of her gaudy, sinful candor. And Jesus loved her. Can we do the same? Or are we always going to be more like the Pharisee who earned Jesus' harshest words? The Pharisee's proper appearances, their nitpicky rule following, their hypocrisy, their emotional coldness, and worst of all, the burdens they imposed on others made them Jesus' mortal enemies. And they thought they were God's chosen people. Sometimes I'm afraid all of us are Pharisees. We think of ourselves sitting here in these pews on Sunday morning as holy people, but we are at our worst when we strive to appear to be at our best. When we insist that our ways are the ways of God, when we hide our true feelings and I want to appear proper and good, when our insides do not match our outsides, when we make a long list of rules for people to follow, when we uphold standards and proper behavior over caring and compassion for people, when we reject those who are different from us, when we live our lives in groups of people where everyone is just like us, when we cannot associate with those people because they're poor or black or homeless or uneducated or prostitutes or just different, when we tithe mint and herbs of all kind, but we ignore justice and we ignore the love of God. It's at times like these, at our most Pharisaical, it's at times like these when Jesus stands, stares at us, shakes his head, and says, "You fool." I hope Pope Francis continues to live the life he's doing right now, his honest, loving ways like Jesus. And I hope when he speaks to Congress in September, he has a very strong message and they can hear his message. I kind of hope he doesn't call them fools, but we will see. More important, I want us, Christ's people, the people in Christ's church, somehow to have just a little bit of that love Jesus has. That love Jesus showed to that woman at his feet at that Pharisee's table, to the outcast woman, to those most in need of love. Let's not make a whole lot of requirements, let's just love them. And may we be as courageous and even as humble as that woman who came before Jesus, just as she was, in her gaudy honesty, who knelt before Jesus in tears, showing her love the only way she knew how. And when we do, when we come before Jesus, kneel before him in honesty, say who we are and show our love, I am totally confident that Jesus will reach out, touch each of us on our cheeks, not call us Pharisaical fools, but the Christ, the Lord, Jesus, our Savior, will look each of us in the eye and say, "My child, your faith has saved you. Go in love." Amen.